We are ready.
A roll call.
Okay. Mr. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Smuckler?
Here.
Ms. Fonzie?
Here.
Okay. With good to see you all. Happy New Year to everybody. This is the January 6th, 2016 Executive Committee meeting of the San Luis Obispo Air Pollution Control District. And we are going to begin with a public comment period. I have two requests to speak to folks right here with us, so you can just stand if that, you know, whatever works. Michelle Toady and then Paul Stolten. So, okay. Michelle, please.
Yes, hi. I'm following up on the email that I sent about requesting the second monitor in the dark pink area of the mesa from the community monitoring data, but at a monitor location which would not be affected by whatever mitigation is being put in front of or around the CDF monitor. And you've heard me before. I think I've been speaking on this for 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that the CDF monitor may be being affected by the mitigation. I don't feel that it's really trustworthy. I've kind of actually got to the point where when I'm driving home, I can look at the air and I make a game of it, actually. I guess the particulate matter level. And then the next day, I can go on the CARB site and look up the hour. Let's say if I come home at 2 p.m., I go and I look at the reading and I see if I'm, you know, if I've hit it. If it's 400, for example, you know, roughly here.
Yeah.
So I think that it's very important for the peace of mind of the community to know that the CDF monitor is accurate. So that's why I'm requesting monitor for only 4 months, March, April, May, June. I realize we're in an El Nino and the readings may be different and, you know, there may be less particulates this coming year. And I, of course, wish this would have been done last year when I requested it. But, you know, things are what they are. My feeling is that we need another monitor, whether I have to purchase it or I have to find a way to fund the person to come check the monitor for 4 months, I'm willing to do that so that I know that I have accurate data for the monitor that's supposed to represent my home. And that's all. Thank you. I appreciate you consider putting it on the agenda.
We will discuss that right after this with Mr. Allen.
Okay, that's great.
And Mr. Stolten, I see that you wanted to comment on closed session.
Did I do, but let me comment on that as
please,
well.
Please, sure.
Within my
no, feel free. Please.
I came today as a air pollution control official of 37 years. Let me just speak to the closed session issue first. In that capacity, I've worked with state governments, I've worked with the federal government, I've worked with the UN and international governments. And so I have come across a large number of air pollution control regulators, people that whose job it is to reduce air pollution around the world. I have to say, I, having met and know all of those individuals, I've never met an individual who does a better job than Larry Allen. And as a person who lives in the most polluted part of the county, unfortunately, I personally need to have someone in charge that is going to do the job. And I think Larry is shown the capacity to do that. I think you would not be well served by not renewing his contract, and I hope you will take my words into account. I mean, there is just nobody better out there, and why would you let somebody like that go?
Can I interrupt you just for a second?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I wonder, you know, it's harder for us to convey this. If you wouldn't mind putting that in an email to the board?
Oh, sure.
Like, just talk about your own experience.
I can
and
do that.
Because
absolutely.
I think it would be helpful for the full board to have
sure.
your input. So
I will do that.
Thank
I said this 2 years ago
sure.
or whenever it was, but it's worth repeating, believe me.
Thank you.
The second thing is I've been disturbed for a long time that the state park seems to be aiming their control program right at the monitor. It's just, as an air pollution control official, it is just totally inappropriate to design your control strategy to be the monitor. I mean, you know, that's not what we're about. We used to, you know, cities used to do that for their CO monitors, where they, you know, they'd be certain they'd change the traffic pattern to avoid the CO monitor that we put out, and because CO was primarily coming out of the car. It's just inappropriate to do that, and so I support Michelle Rochelle's position that we need to know if they're going to keep this up and have a little disturbed that the ARB is involved in this as well. I would have thought that they know better. Well, they do know better. I certainly support two things. I would support, number one, getting state parks to do something other than controlling to be a monitor, because all they want to do is keep EPA out of this thing by getting that monitor down under the federal standard, which is not going to do us much good, and those of us that actually have to breathe the air down the wind might keep EPA out of it, but that, you know, frankly, as an ex-EPA official at this point, I used to think that I wanted the county to solve this problem. I'm now beginning to think I want to do this because it's not getting anywhere. So we need another monitor just to make sure that we get a full reading, you know, so that there's confidence of the citizens that live up there and have to read this air that it's just not a monitor. Okay, thank you.
And seeing as there's no one else here asking to speak, we'll close it to public comment. And if I could, Larry, the request on this,
sure.
Is this something we can do or put on the agenda, or why don't you speak to that, please?
Well, it's certainly, you know, something the board could discuss. When I saw Rochelle's email, I actually spoke to her earlier today, you know, regarding it. I have sent it, forwarded it to our staff. I haven't got it, figured out yet what the cost would actually be. But my response to Rochelle was essentially that, well, first of all, I share the concern of both Mr. Stoltman and Ms. Toady regarding mitigation design just for to reduce concentrations at one monitor, because that was never the intent of the Air Pollution Control District. We need to see broad enough mitigation that it lowers levels across the mesa. And I've spoken with state parks about this concern on several occasions. Apart from that, putting another monitor out there, I think at some point in time, for a little while, that might be a good idea. I'm not convinced that this would be a good year to do that. Number one, for instance, last year we had a very anomalous meteorological year, and the drop in particulate matter concentrations that we saw at CDF, there's no evidence, you know, in all the data analysis that we've done to date to show that it was actually due to the mitigation itself. And because it was such a different year that we saw so much less wind, and we actually saw some different wind directions. And so we even saw changes in the concentration differences between Mesa 2 and CDF, and even the Pomo Regional Park was showing higher concentrations and we've never seen in the past. And so it was quite unusual, and the technical team for ARB, State Parks, and APC is still evaluating that to determine if there was indeed you could show an effect from the mitigation. And we haven't gotten a confirmation back from them on what conclusion they've reached. I think that this year with El Nino and the amount of rain that we're likely to see, I firmly believe that it's going to be really hard to determine impacts of the mitigation, whether or not it's just affecting the CDF side or it's having a broader broader effect overall. And so if we were to do that, and I think a second monitor is not a bad idea for some period of time, I would suggest that we look at doing it in a following year. I mean, we're short-staffed, and while we're certainly willing to put the effort in, you know, especially given the generous offer to help pay for it, I just believe that effort would be better suited to a different year. Number one, because I think that, you know, from what I've heard so far, and we'll know more at the January meeting, we're having a discussion tomorrow, a meeting with them on the mitigation proposal for 2016. But it sounds like it's going to be pretty much the same as occurred in the last year. And so That's my opinion, and I'm more than willing to put it on, you know, for your board to direct us to put it on the agenda for discussion, but we do have an incredibly long agenda this year.
Yeah, I mean, well, this right. What if you just spoke to it in your APCO report, since Ms. Toney did send it to, I think, all of us, right? Your mm-hmm. your email?
You said? No, I just sent it to you. For
oh, okay.
Your, for the
but I mean, I think for us to be able to report yeah. to the full board, could you bring up the request and your advice on that? I mean, we rely on, obviously, our APCO's.
Yes. I can do that, and, you know, of course, the board wouldn't be able to have a discussion relating to any decision on that, since it wouldn't be a formal part of the agenda. So,
yeah.
But we could bring it up for a future agenda.
Right, but I think that Rochelle's point is that if the board doesn't discuss it now or make a determination right now, then March would be too late mm-hmm. for that to happen. Although, you know, actually, probably not, because they have not yet gotten the mitigation in place before April in the last 2 years. And so if we were to do that, I think actually the March time frame, if I brought it up in the APCO report and the board decided that they wanted to, what you're talking about, we're talking about putting in a portable EBAM, which is pretty easy to install. It doesn't, you know, we wouldn't have to build anything or anything like that. So,
and I'm not insisting on 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I just want enough data, and I would rely right. on your experts to confirm to me that what's happening in our neighborhood is the same as what's happening mm-hmm. at CDF.
Right.
So if that took 2 weeks to confirm, then I'd feel better, and I'd be able to say, you know, the CDF is reliable.
Mm. I think you'd want a wind season, at least a couple of months.
So even April, May, June.
Get, so, but I think there would be, I could bring it, I could mention it in the APCO's report and ask for direction whether or not the board wants to put it on a future agenda.
I think I need more information about targeting one particular neighborhood. I know you live there, that's your concern, but if you think that State Parks is trying to mitigate only at the CDF, there may be other neighborhoods that it needs to be portable, you know, there may mm-hmm. be other factors that we haven't considered.
Right.
So I think it's actually a broader issue than your offer, which I appreciate, and I can see the value for your neighborhood, but it is public money and it is being right. used, and it's benefiting basically your neighborhood. Perhaps it should go to other neighborhoods as well at varying times.
Sure. And we could speak to that if we brought it to the board in March, because the area that Ms. Toney lives in is the highest concentration area. She spoke to the pink thing. I should bring in, you can probably visualize it in your head, I don't know, but we did produce a concentration map that showed the highest and then the next highest and then the least impacted area.
Right. So, I think the correlation between what State Parks does and this particular mm-hmm. site may be pretty hard to establish. So I don't know.
Right.
I don't have enough information to make that decision at this point.
Right. So I think, you know, maybe getting some direction from the board on that. One thing I did want to bring up is that we did do a very comprehensive community monitoring study back in 2012, where we sighted monitors all over the Mesa, including at the location that Rochelle is suggesting we put one back at again. And what that study showed was that CDF remained the highest concentration of all the monitors that we had out there. So we're pretty certain that from a representativeness standpoint, we're capturing the maximum concentrations, which is what you're supposed to do in air monitoring.
Sure, that makes sense.
Right. So, but from the standpoint of now that if those concentrations are being modified by mitigation that's placed just to affect a monitor, we can't tell that from just the CDF site. And so at some point in time, it might be helpful to collect some data in another site that from the community monitoring study showed us was still a high impact area, and see if indeed we're seeing the same concentration relationship there that we saw in the community monitoring study, or if it's something different.
I'm a bit puzzled because you said that you're feeling that it's not necessarily accurate.
Right.
That CDF, so is that a monitoring issue problem that we have that needs to be done more in a, you know, more frequently, or I don't understand the basis here.
What I've been told is that even a slight change in wind direction, which could very easily be caused by hay bales on the ground, will cause the particulates to miss the CDF monitor, and therefore the reading would be lower. So that's why I gave you the little anecdotal thing of checking. So when I look at the air quality and then I go check the reading and the reading is lower, you know, on a particular day, then that makes me wonder. And then I've also actually checked the readings at MESA 2 compared to the CDF monitor, and over the last 3 years, the 13, 14, 15, and on the 10, or I'm sorry, five highest reading days, the distance, the number of points between MESA 2 and CDF has been declining. So MESA 2 has been staying high and CDF has been getting lower. So the variable, which used to be a 50-point difference, last year was a 20-point difference in some cases.
Which we don't know if that's a weather anomaly or
and we don't whatever. Know.
Exactly.
Right?
That's
those are causing me concern. Yeah. And then people, you know, I just spoke to someone this week who said they thought 2015 was one of the worst years. And they have no living trilogy. So maybe MESA 2 is getting hit harder. I don't know. But.
Well, You are correct in your statement that a slight change in the wind direction can have a pretty big effect in terms of the concentrations that we see at all of our sites, because then it's changing the source. You know, if you have, if it moves from this direction to this direction, if the highest emissions are over here and now you're getting more wind blowing from this direction, it's going into a different area. And from a meteorological standpoint, well, and that's one of the reasons why it is important to have broad mitigation and not just something placed, you know, to affect one monitor, because a change in the wind can affect that and the mitigation might not be effective. And so that's another point. But regarding the adequacy of the CDF site, we are 100% confident in the accuracy of that site. It's passed all of its audits. It receives a lot of attention, and so we are confident in the data, but we cannot account for the meteorology.
And I'm not trying to dictate where this second monitor goes,
sure,
other than it be in the dark zone and it not be in line with the mitigation. I was just offering that I had spoken to my neighbors and they have said they would be willing to have it come back for a few months.
Yes. So. Okay.
So do we, Noah, did you want to add something?
Well, I just would definitely depend on staff's recommendation on locating that, such a dynamic, complicated, complex decision on what's going to be most effective. If we do go down that route, staff's input would be really important.
So why don't we put that on your report and...
Yeah.
Do we want, so the board understands, do you want us to send your request to the full board so that they have a copy?
Sure.
Just like I'm asking Mr. Sullivan.
It was really
send his,
quickly.
Yeah, I know, but at least when Larry brings it up and talks and gives his input and sees what the board wants to do, they'll have some.
Yeah, that's no problem.
I think we, you know, I really appreciate your offer to pay for it. This is very generous and, yeah, that's very noteworthy. I think if the monitor were to be moved around, it really needs to be owned by the district.
Probably true. You know, I would not feel good about, you know, taking money from a private citizen to do that. And I don't think it would be that costly. It's more a matter of time. You know, we'd be additional data analysis. Like I said, I too believe that's a good idea. I just am not thinking this is the best year to do it, because I don't think that the data is going to show us any. I don't think we could reach good conclusions from it.
Yeah. So we'll bring that up in your APCO report.
Okay.
If there's any further.
All right.
We'll take it from there.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And so we are going to move on. We've got business on the minutes from our October meeting. But any changes? If not, motion?
Mm-hmm. Second.
Okay. Moved by Ms. Fonzie, second by Mr. Smuckler. You get a roll call on this one?
Yes, a roll call. Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Fonzie?
Yes.
And Mr. Smuckler?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The now we're looking at the meetings, the draft agenda for this.
Okay.
Right.
Sure. Okay. So first off, we have our annual elections for chair and vice chair, and then selection of the Basin Control Council representative for this year, and then. We have a couple of presentations, you know, one to you, Adam, for your leadership as chair. And then we had our most senior engineer just retire at the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to, present a resolution to him for his service. And then we've got quite a long consent agenda. There's, 10 items on there. And the most significant ones are B7, where we have implementation of a pension trust rate increase that it is proposing. It's happening at the county too, so it's almost a 1% increase in the rate, and so we're proposing that be split 50-50 between the agency and staff on that. And so hopefully that, that has been the board policy in the past. And so that's just kind of a notification that that's occurring. And then we have our 15-16 emission reduction incentive plan for Carl Moyer and AB923 funds. And that's just kind of our standard thing where we're just asking the board to approve the receipt and allocation of those funds that we've been doing every year. We have an additional wood stove change-out program that we're proposing to implement based on the success of the one that we did in the Los Osos area with the mitigation funds from the Los Osos sewer plant. We now have some more funds available as a result of we have for years been trying to give away money for marine vessel change outs as a result of, I think it was a cable crossing or something like that. I mean, this money's been sitting there for a long time, and we've tried and tried, and we finally said, okay, we need to put it to better use. And so so that's what this proposal is, and we think that we'll get a lot of benefit out of this. I mean, this is really, you get huge emission reductions and definitely in personal health improvements when you can clean up wood burning out there that affects residents.
Is there a reason that there's nothing in North County?
Pardon me?
You have San Luis Obispo, Nicobo, Morobe, Los Osos.
So I have to look at the staff report on that, Roberta. I'm not sure of the reason for the recommendation on those locations, but I will make sure that I can answer that question.
Larry, on that one, the decision for the marine vessel program, basically that'll terminate the program. Have you had any chance to outreach to either of the harbors?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have, our outreach has been...
Well, just about the decision to shift those funds.
That I don't know. I will ask.
I know you work hard to ask to try to get people to take it up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've notified them, that we're going to do this. But I'll check with Megan and Aaron to make sure.
I think that'd be good, so we don't end up finding out that there were some people that were really finally interested or something like that.
Okay.
good. Air quality report should be...
Right, so that's normally we would actually present that to the board, but given the length of the agenda and the number of items that are on it, we don't really feel like we have an opportunity to do that. It's been a bummer, in my opinion, the last couple of board meetings. The actual, you know, really good things that we would like to report to the board on, we have not done before, and so, you know, we wind up focusing on things that are not as much fun to talk about. But hopefully we can get back on track with that. So, and then we have, so really there's nothing controversial on this, although I will make sure that I do find out on this B9 about how those locations were picked and whether or not we've talked to the Harbor District about that. And so be prepared to answer those questions. APCO's report, so I wasn't even going to give an APCO's well, actually, I was going to mention, you know, that Aaron is becoming the new Air Pollution Control Officer for Santa Barbara. But now I will add to that Ms. Toady's request on the second monitor and see if we can get forward to that. You know, I might have some cough lozenges.
So hopefully I'll be able to.
I have some as well, too. Want me to get you one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's my tail end of the winter cold.
Oh, so I've got this thing, too. It's horrible. Yeah. I haven't even been coughing today, but since you started, I'm feeling like I need to.
It's contagious.
Yeah. And then district council's report, right? Is there... Yeah, there probably won't be a report on that. And so then under board business, we have two items to that we did not cover the last time, that we did not finish the last time that we need to do. One is the new source review rule here that's required by EPA. Mm-hmm. It's very minor revision, but we have to do it to cross our T's and dot our I's. And I believe last time, Roberta, you had a question that I think I answered for you. Okay. And then the hearing board. So we did get Mr. Reedy's application. Mm-hmm. Apparently what had happened is that he had, I think Gary sent an email out to the board on that. So I guess he had sent it straight to Lynn Compton's office and no one ever sent it to us. So we had not seen it. It didn't make it onto the agenda. So that'll be there. So we have our 6-month update tri-agency presentation of the board on the implementation of the consent decree.
All agencies will be there?
Yes. So State Parks, ARB, and myself will all give an update. So we have a meeting tomorrow to talk about that. And
you think that'll take quite a bit of time?
Well, that'll probably be a half hour.
Maybe move them up to the top of the board business?
Well, the one thing that we wanted to make sure was that you know, a lot of times when we do that, then we wind up taking more time than we really should on some of those items. We have to get this rule adopted. And if there's either of the hearing board folks there present, it would be nice to get them done and so that they can leave and so forth. I think those first two items are going to go really quickly.
Okay. So I think this is the item the public is most interested in.
Yeah. The public is definitely interested in that one. And like I said, these two should go within a total of 15 minutes, I would hope. So then we should be right on to, and if we don't get too much on the consent calendar, then, you know, we might be able to get to this by like 9:30 or so, 10 o'clock at the very latest, I'm sure.
Mayor, are you anticipating anything on the district council report?
Not on the district council report, no. So that'll be no time at all.
On C4, so this is related to the ex parte communications and disclosure representation. And I've been doing a lot of research on this and talked to several consultants and so forth. And my recommendation to the board is that we actually, that the board consider doing a facilitated board retreat. And we might actually even be able to do that at the March meeting, because at least at this point in time, it doesn't look like we're going to have a lot on that agenda. And I've talked to one consultant who does this for the CSDA, the California Special Districts Association. He works with local government agencies on board roles, board interactions, board versus staff.
Are we in closed session roles now?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so I requested a proposal from him on, and he went and looked at a couple of our board meetings online and then sent a proposal, and it looks like it would be anywhere from about $7,000 to $10,000 to do that. And it would include, you know, it's pre-work in interviewing some board members, interviewing myself and, you know, perhaps others, watching board meetings and then coming to the board and talking about, you know, what they've learned through that and how to move forward in getting the board to function more effectively together as a group. And I've looked at the Tascadero council norms, and you know, there's a lot of good information, a lot of good, you know, policies in theirs. There's a lot of other council norms and board norms that are on the books out there. This is clearly a national problem. There are entire institutes devoted to civil discourse in public bodies. And so there's, you know, you don't really have to reinvent the wheel. I actually bumped into Katie Lichtig, the city manager for San Luis Obispo, and Dan Carpenter at an EBC function not too long ago. In fact, I saw you there.
Yeah.
And Dan Carpenter himself said, you know, we went through that facilitated process and it made a world of difference in the way that they interact with each other. He said, we don't necessarily like each other any better, but we do know how to interact now. And they actually were even given like some trigger words to use that they could say that maybe no one else in the public would understand, but would let someone else know that, hey, you're starting to push some buttons here or something. So in talking to Katie Lichtig about it, she said, yeah, it was really very effective, and their meetings have become much more productive as a result. So I got the name of that consultant, and I'm going to be talking to them this week as well. So my proposal here on this item to the board is that in developing policies on ex parte communications, disclosure representation, and I'm suggesting an actual policy on board norms, that we do that through a facilitated process, and then Roberta, I believe you made the suggestion that we actually have a annual goal setting session with the district board, and that at that point in time you go through and review the norms that you've adopted and see if they need to be changed or updated or what have you, and just reaffirmed. And then work on, you know, okay, what are the goals going to be for this year? And so that's another thing that I'm going to be proposing, you know, in this item itself. So.
Okay. I think it's really important that the board have buy-in on whatever we do, and mm-hmm. that's really the goal of the facilitator. So
right.
I would be very careful in choosing so that we don't feel that we're being steered or led mm-hmm. when we make that decision as a board. That would be my only caution, but I think you're on the right track.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I will put down that. I certainly don't want to lead the board down any path. There's a lot of folks out there, but I'm primarily looking for people in California, number one. The one person that I did talk to, Brent Ives, he does this for special districts and other government agencies all throughout California. It's his primary function. He's an expert in, helping boards understand their role compared to the role of staff, in the way that they should interact with each other, the way they should interact with staff. A lot of the things that you have established in your council norms, are the things that he talks about.
And we went through the same process because we had Skyping with each other.
Right.
The city manager and the
exactly.
city attorney, and it wasn't losing public trust. Mm-hmm. So we couched it a different way, and we went through the process of building public trust, but it had the same result.
But your comment about the board selecting the one, I don't know.
I don't mean select. We wouldn't select it. I just would say we want one that isn't going to say we need to get together and play a game. I've had those kind, and you probably have too, and it's just a waste of time and money, and we really want to get to work and come to an agreement among board members.
Right.
Without that agreement with the board, it goes wrong.
Sure. Playing games and that sort of thing. I don't think that's. And I will make sure that they understand. Yes.
Okay.
Because I've been through those processes. That's team building.
Yes.
And I don't think we're looking for team building. I think we're looking for civility and for understanding and cooperation and coordination and governance, good governance.
I think it's a really good approach to actually have targeted products that we want to end effort with, and the ones you mentioned are very important and would benefit future boards, and I think it's a tangible value object that we'd be depending on going forward. We've also, with the city of Morro Bay, looked at syncing goal setting with and performance objectives and so forth with the election cycle. So we're understanding that at any election, the interests of the council or the board could shift, and they should be, that new seated board should be given the opportunity to check in, and the staff should be given that opportunity to understand a new direction if necessary. And it might be interesting to think about as we frame this, how to look at it that
way. Sure. And my thought was that we would hold that session in January. If the board decided maybe March or something, but January seems like the right time. You would have new officers seated, the opportunity to go through and talk about what the goals and objectives are. So, great suggestions. And the goal, one of the things that Mr. Ives had suggested in his proposal was that, I think for $7,000 he would do the pre-work and the goal setting and board norm, session. And then I think the extra $3,000 was a follow-up after 4 or 5 months to come back to the board, see how this is working, do we need to make adjustments to that, and so forth. So, which would involve going back and reviewing some of the interim board meetings that occurred between the two sessions. So, anyhow, with that, thank you for that direction.
One last thought. I know the League of Women Voters have been fairly active
this last year.
They approached us briefly, I believe, but it might be worth seeing if there's anything that they could offer in this to help us.
I will. Yeah, I've looked at their website. I've downloaded their information on civility in public meetings. Or civil discourse, I think, is what their pamphlet is entitled.
Mm-hmm. I think that theirs was actually more general. What we're looking for is specifics, though. Generally, if you just treat the public with respect and those kind of issues, which we all know. We are public officials and deal with that always. But we're talking about more specific things like inform staff if we have questions before the meeting, so they're not caught unawares, for instance, or whatever it may be. We need those specifics more than the general. Not that their information wasn't valuable, but I think we've all heard it over cities and counties.
That's a good point. And actually, what I intend to do on this in the staff report is, you know, have a brief write-up on the proposal and then provide some examples in there of, you know, potential board norms, provide an example of the ex parte policy and disclosure representation, just so that the board can see that, get a feel for it before, you know, the discussion occurs. And so I'll probably include Atascaderos and whatever other ones I can find in there. I don't want to make it too big, but and I might X out some. I might exclude. There's a lot of stuff in the city that doesn't relate to us, so I'll probably just try and include what does relate to keep
it short.
And
it isn't just Atascaderos. You probably have something similar.
Right.
To you, and maybe
yeah.
You do as well. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have some board procedures.
Yeah. So that's my intent there.
Okay.
Did you consider Bill Shiat from CalAfGroup? Was that one of the people?
I haven't, you know, he's not one of the ones that I've looked at.
Okay.
But I know that you used him
recently.
Recently.
And David Church might be a good source.
In Cambria, okay.
Yeah. He was the former executive director of CalAfGro. He also does the same kind of facilitation things.
Okay.
And a former CAO as well for Napa County, I believe.
Okay. I'll do that. Bill Shiat.
C-H-A-I-T, I-A-T.
Okay. Okay, so, you know, my guess is that that's going to be a fairly lengthy discussion, you know, with the board. I don't know, but it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And that one. And then is the extension of my contract, which we're going to talk about in closed session here, and then it goes to open session. And then closed session, I'm guessing
we have a decision from Judge Crane.
Yeah, if we have a decision, then there will be a closed session
have,
item.
You know,
if not, then there won't be. And that's it.
So we're going to the closed session here?
We'll go into the conference room.
Okay. We can go up one more.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
Did you want to make any public comment on this question before?
No.
Okay. And then you still have an item on your agenda, though.
Oh.
Adoption of the executive committee meeting.
Oh, right. The meeting, yeah, that's correct. The meeting calendar, which I believe you've all been consulted on, right?
Right. I won't be on that, so.
Oh, correct. That's right.
Going back again to the appointments, are we going to have a little bit? I know traditionally we've done city county mm-hmm. on the chair and the vice chair.
That's,
does that need to be spelled out again before we, if somewhere in the staff report?
Yeah, there? The staff report will list out what the
so
process has been.
On that.
That would be that really nice. Yeah. Yeah. And so, and we put, you know, the length of time served and so forth for everyone currently on the board and who served as chair and who hasn't. Mm-hmm. So it'll be up to the board to make that decision. Yeah. So, okay. Approval of the executive meeting calendar?
Oh, we may just want to revisit that one time
right.
with whoever.
With, yeah, the new executive committee member.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Advice.
So I guess tentatively approved?
Tentatively approved.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Do you need a roll call vote or a motion?
Voice vote is sufficient.
All those in favor of tentative approval, say aye.
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 Thank you. So now we'll go to closed session.
Closed session.
Okay.
So adjourn into the
sure.
Yeah.
On the record.
Yes.
So we're back in session, yes, and we have a report out of closed session from our district counsel, Mr. Beeren.
Yes, sir. The executive committee just met in closed session under Government Code 54957 to review with the APCO his evaluation. We completed that, and the executive committee is recommending to the full board at the next January hearing a one-year contract extension and a cost of living increase equivalent to what the employees received of 4.8%. Prospectively, not retroactively.
Okay.
And that's the extent of my report.
thank you, Mr. Beering, and we will adjourn. Everybody drive safely out there.
All right, great. Thank you all.
Okay. Thank you.